The problems with which we will always have to deal is when people read something back into a verse that's not in the verse. They don't respect progressive revelation, that's why they do it. And perhaps the best example is John chapter 3, verse 16, into which they read the death, burial, and resurrection as payment for sins when it's simply not there. And as a matter of fact, in the book of John, is it not only not there, it couldn't be, because John chapter 20, verse 9, they knew not as yet the scripture where he must rise again from the dead. John chapter 4, verse 22, salvations of the Jews. John chapter 5, verses 29 and 30, you've got salvation as a product of doing good. So there's no possible way. But people read the death, burial, and resurrection, Christ's payment for sins, back into John chapter 3, verse 16, because they want it to be there. It's not there. They don't respect progressive revelation. That's the problem. We have a similar problem, perhaps with you. When you come to Romans chapter 13, in the first few verses, the idea of letting every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God, the powers that be are ordained of God. The Democrat looks at it and says, well, Trump couldn't be of God. The Republican looks at it and says, well, Obama couldn't be of God. And he might look at the Congress and say, none of those people are right. And you have a similar problem with the Supreme Court. It seems as if the times when you put a conservative on the court, as soon as he finds where the coffee is in the men's room, he changes and becomes a liberal on the court, aka John Roberts. So you say, well, that wasn't ordained of God. Don't read back into Romans chapter 13 that which is not there. Your present situation is not there. Romans chapter 13 is looking at a situation where the powers that be are of God. Well, if you had saved people who were serving, if you have people, it used to be in these here United States, a state law in Tennessee, for example, that you could not run for office if you were not a church member. Right. And I know a church member doesn't make you saved, but they were very oriented toward having Christians run things.
Yeah.
That ought to be how it is. But now, if you say you're a Christian, that pretty well disqualifies you from a leadership position.
Yeah.
The every soul be subject unto the higher powers. Every soul would include the president, the Supreme Court justices, the senators, the House of Representatives, your local school board. If everybody was subject to God, we wouldn't be having the power problems that we've got these days.
No.
Meanwhile, that does not abrogate our responsibilities to be citizens that are operating correctly.
Yes.
If we all operated correctly and things actually got better, maybe then we would fix some of the problems that are out there. But being subject to civil government, Romans chapter 13, verse 1, it's an interesting thing to consider that when you encounter a situation where the government is just slap silly wrong, the only response that we have for it is to whine, to complain, and, oh, I don't vote because my vote doesn't mean anything. That is the exact opposite of where you ought to be.
Amen.
I remember attending a meeting here in Sugar Creek Township, and we did not have a fire department back in those days. It was a meeting at which it was being discussed as to whether or not we should secede and become separate from the little city of Bellbrook that is right in the middle of Sugar Creek Township because we weren't getting the fire service that we thought we deserved.
Yeah.
Well, my insurance rating was a 9 on fire insurance, which was the highest that State Farm had, because I don't have a fire hydrant. We had a volunteer department in a different municipality, so it was twice removed from me. So we had a delegation go to Bellbrook and talk with the mayor about having a separate fire department for Sugar Creek Township. And the mayor said words akin to, "As far as I'm concerned, you can all go to hell." And that's real close to an exact quote. Well, we came out of that meeting thinking that we need our own fire department. The only way to do that would be for Sugar Creek Township to secede, and then Bellbrook would have its own municipality and our township would be separate and not run by Bellbrook. I was on the committee to establish a fire department, and we got ourselves a fire chief from a different district who happened to live in Sugar Creek Township, and he and my next door neighbor and I and a couple other people, we got it done. And I'm no longer a 9 anymore. I got a slightly improved fire rating. But what was going on wasn't right. So rather than just whine and complain, I got involved. Yeah. My next door neighbor got involved. Another fellow who was a volunteer fire chief in another day, he got involved. And the end result is, to this day, Sugar Creek Township and Bellbrook are separate governmental entities. Yes. We have a very excellent fire department now with 4 stations. We didn't used to even have a truck, didn't even have a hose, and now we've got 4 stations. So what happened was a right thing.
Yes.
I remember when I volunteered to be on the Beaver Creek Board, Sugar Creek Board of Zoning Appeals. In Beaver Creek, I was on the road committee for Route 35 in Dayton Xenia. But in Sugar Creek, I was on the Board of Zoning Appeals. And I made it clear when they were considering my appointment that if it ever came to a liquor issue, my vote was no. I didn't care who, I didn't care what, I didn't care if it was a bowling alley or a bar, I didn't care, my vote's no. And they put me on anyhow because they had more votes than my one, but that was me taking a responsible position in the marketplace of ideas. My suggestion here is Romans chapter 13 verses 1 and 2 works a whole lot better when we've got citizenry Christian involvement.
Yes.
Saved by God's grace, getting involved in society. Laws are intended to be a deterrent to evil.
Yes.
I remember saying in one of our township meetings that as far as I'm concerned, you can have a cop with a big dog on every corner of downtown. Oh, I wouldn't like that. That response comes from somebody who wants to get away with something.
Yes.
That is not the response of a person who is going to be obeying the laws.
Right.
I've noticed this also, and this is kind of a codicil to what I just said, and that is this. When you present the gospel to saved people, they don't mind a bit. When you present the gospel to churchgoers, they hate it.
Ooh.
They need to be saved. They don't want to hear it.
Right.
So having a cop with a big dog on every corner, that kind of is what took place in downtown Dayton when the young man for 37 seconds was unloading his semi-automatic pistol with a special fitted barrel and a canister of 223 bullets. The cops were already there.
Yes.
On every corner.
Yes.
They didn't have dogs, but they had guns. And so in less than a minute, they took that guy down. And he killed his sister and 8 other people and wounded 30-some people. It was needful that there be law enforcement. You'd think that the fact that there is law enforcement might deter some evil. As a matter of fact, I think it does. But now we can throw water on cops in New York City and doesn't mean anything. We are setting a record this year for the number of policemen who have been murdered, most of them going to domestic violence calls. Sad that that is our condition.
Okay.
Laws are intended to provide a deterrent to evil.
Yes.
Think what we've done now. Rather than adjudicating, we just prevaricate.
Yes.
and it goes on forever and ever and ever and ever. And you've got celebrity lawyers. I just the other day, after this gentleman, not a gentleman hardly, supposedly killed himself, suicide, in his jail cell, I'm thinking, well, there's a lot of suicides in a lot of jails that aren't suicides. That's right. And this is just one more of them. But I was thinking, as that was taking place, that if going to a jail was really a deterrent, then there wouldn't be nearly as many people in jail because they don't get tried swiftly.
Yeah.
And, oh, here comes Gloria Allred, and she's after money.
Mm-hmm.
So it just goes on and on and on. It was said by Rush Limbaugh just the other day about this fellow who killed himself in the Metropolitan Jail in New York City,
right,
that, oh, they're going to be an investigation. And Limbaugh said, now, investigation is where these kinds of things go to die.
Yeah.
And that's the last you ever hear of them.
Yep.
Laws are intended to provide a deterrent to evil. If they're not executed swiftly, then men's heart is set to do evil continually.
Yes.
Now that is what Solomon said in Ecclesiastes. Laws are intended to encourage good behavior.
Yes.
In Romans chapter 13 and verse 4, he is a minister of God to thee for good. So if then there are laws that say it's hurtful, harmful to do this or that, that law is intended to protect you.
That's right.
We now live in a society where such laws are scoffed at, and the lawyers scoff laws themselves for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
They acquiesce and give in. So that which had been illegal is now actually considered good thing, even medicine. I'm thinking of marijuana. It's sad that there are teenagers. If you ask them, do you smoke? They'll say no. They don't know that vaping is smoking.
Yep.
How dumb can they get? Well, pretty dumb.
Mm-hmm.
And so the idea ought to be that there are people who put laws in place to look out for the people who could fall into trouble. A citizen ought to be involved in helping to do good. That's why I would be a no vote on anything involving alcohol in my township.
Thank you.
I think that's the good thing to do.
Yeah.
Now, one fascinating aspect of Romans chapter 13 is here is the only place in all of Paul's writings where he tells you what you do with your money. When it comes to giving to a ministry, you purpose in your own heart.
Yeah.
When it comes to the law, you're not under the law. So it's not for you to tithe. But you are to pay your taxes. Render, therefore, to all their dues.
Yeah.
Tribute to whom tribute is due.
Yeah.
Custom to whom custom. Fear to whom fear. Honor to whom honor. Now, I am fully aware of government waste. I am aware of the $500 toilet seats. I'm aware of $500,000 having been spent by the Air Force for a self-cleaning toilet system that didn't work. I'm aware that we waste so much money, my. And yet, it's better, my job, to help stop that kind of stuff and to call it out than to say, well, I'm not going to pay my taxes because they just waste it anyhow. And there are those who cite Irwin Schiff and others who say, well, the income tax was not really a legal law in the first place. And they'll write to you from their jail cells and tell you how they're just doing it for Jesus. And there are people who hunker in bunkers. The fact of the matter is, if we fired all 535 of them in Congress, we fired all 9 of them in the Supreme Court, we fired the President, the Vice President, the whole of his cabinet, we took all that power and gave it to you, You don't have enough money to run this country.
Nope.
You'd have to tax people.
Yep.
And we give you 6 months to a year, and you'll be building bridges to nowhere also. So it's a big, very difficult to manage situation, no question about it. Why? The best way to have delegation work is to have people to whom you delegate who are saved by God's grace and who are going to do right.
Yeah.
Oh, people like that don't get in government anymore. Then please do not attempt to read today's situation into Romans chapter 13 verses 1 and 2 and decide to be a scofflaw. That is wrongheaded. You have citizen as part of your adjectives describing you, and a citizen of the United States has some obligations. It's, to me, disgusting. I know there's Colin Kaepernick and all his now fussing over Betsy Ross shoes, and what was so really irritating last week were kids, young men, on a team, on a sport nobody cares about, taking a knee when they'd won.
Yeah.
In another country, they're taking a knee. He doesn't play for me. He's not on my team.
No.
It's our job to be responsible citizens, to set a good example, to pay our taxes, to render dues to people that are due. And that's in Romans chapter 13, verse 7 also. It would be a good thing to tie Romans 13, verse 7 with Romans chapter 12, verse 11, and to not be slovenly in business dealings.
Yep.
Christians are notorious for slow pay. Christians are notorious for, well, I can get it for you wholesale from my brother-in-law, and that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Better to do that which is right and responsible, and to render all that they are due.
Yeah.
We should, Acts chapter 23, verse 5, Paul said, I wish not, brethren, that he was the high priest, for it is written, thou shalt not speak evil of the ruler of thy people. Speaking evil in the day of Twitter and Instagram, speaking evil is pretty much all a lot of people do.
Yeah.
One of the reasons why I really don't care to be on Twitter, I really don't care to be on Instagram, is exactly that.
Yeah.
It's getting into a urinating contest with a bunch of skunks.
Yeah.
You may win the contest, but you're going to smell pretty bad when it's over.
Yeah.
So stay out of it. We should give due respect to the office. I wrote quite a little bit over the years that President Obama was president, and I think that I refer to him properly as President Obama, and then secondary mentions in the same article would be Mr. Obama. I do it with respect.
Yes.
And I have this notion, and you say of me what you will, I have this notion that 20 or 30 years from now, we're going to find out that President Obama's grandma was telling the truth.
Yeah.
We'll see. It is our job to engage in prayer. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, and intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. Then he gives a list. For kings, and for all that are in authority, function, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. A quiet and peaceable life. Wouldn't that be a good thing?
Yes.
Now, you've got Bernie Sanders, who is holding up the New Zealand example. Well, the New Zealand example, he's counting on people's ignorance to not even know what a New Zealand is. Is that something at the zoo? The New Zealand example is a gun buyback confiscation program,
yeah.
The end result of which, nobody has a gun. And one of the interesting things that's being floated now is this red flag business. Well, I'd be interested in knowing who determines the red flag, who gets to wave the red flag. And if you have this red flag, and here comes a man home from Afghanistan, he's got a Bronze Star, he's got a Purple Heart with a cluster, he was a sergeant major, he comes home, And now he has trouble sleeping nights and has been diagnosed as PTSD. Oh, he's sick. He can't have a gun. He's the one that went over there to fight for the rights to have a gun.
That's right.
And now he can't sleep nights because what he did for you, when 99% of the American people say, oh, thank you for your service, which really means I ain't going, glad you did. Well, that, Ben, means red flag laws could be a problem if you're not real careful about what you do with it.
Oh, yeah.
So the idea, again, is we engage in caring about our leadership so much that we even pray that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty.
Yeah.
Requires some godly and honest leaders.
Yeah.
Now, you're going to have to go to Walmart and buy some of those because we don't seem to have many of them now. It's our job, according to the first 7 verses of Romans 13, to obey the civil laws. You say, well, the civil law is ungodly. Great. Run for office. Get it changed. Write a petition. Get the signatures. Have a recall. Get it changed. There have been opportunities to make change down through the 20 centuries since Paul and down through the 2.5 centuries since people landed in Jamestown to make change. Those people in the right position at the right time, were they saved Bible believers, we'd have a whole different country than we have right now.
Amen.
And as highly as I hold our founders in high esteem, they operated with a lot of Christian principles, I'm going to say, without being Christian.
Right.
We have no idea how good it might have been, and just having Christian principles has carried us a very long way. But we seem to be running out of gas here lately.
Yeah.
Higher powers in our subject verse would be not President Trump, not John Roberts, not Mitch McConnell, goodness. No, it wouldn't be Nancy Pelosi. The higher powers, the highest of the higher powers is my Savior. And so let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem the other better than themselves. That's not difficult when the other is a saved person, same as you are.
Mm-hmm.
That's where the wheels fell off. That's where the axe head came off the handle. We are becoming not only secularized, we are becoming anti-biblical. And most of the issues that the 2020 contenders on the left side of the spectrum hold as being the central issues in this next campaign are anti-Bible, every one of them.
Yes.
That is, I think, the common denominator to what divides this country. And the schism has only gotten such that I've been saying for a year now, there's going to be blood in the streets. There's been a certain amount already. But it's not to the level that I'm thinking of. It's headed that way. Why is that? You've still got a declining and getting older segment of the population that has some vestigial attachment to the words of God. They probably couldn't find them in the Bible, but they have some idea what right or wrong is that came from a Bible principle. They think that being a homosexual, that's a problem, but well, it's not so bad. Now we got a lot of them. Actually, those people that are backing away from the Bible and becoming more and more liberal are demonstrating to the anti-Bible people that they won.
Yeah.
And as long as they won, they smell the blood in the water, they're going to have a feeding frenzy and get rid of what's left of Bible influence in anyone's life.
Right.
Now, all authorities are ordained of God. That is the system. It's not the people in the system. Saved people should be in the system, but saved people pretty well run from it. Here are 7 facts about human government, and I'll throw this in parenthetically. Number 1, they're instituted by God. Romans 13, 1-6. Their purpose, number 2, was to execute criminals and force law and order among the people.
Yes.
And that's in Romans 13, 1-6 as well. It is the duty of Christian people, as well as others, to help establish and support a proper, godly human government. And that's what has not been happening. Governments, number four, were instituted to govern by force and to punish not only local and individual crimes, but also national crimes. And you saw some of that with Nuremberg and such trials as that.
Yeah.
Number five, Christians are not to leave popular government to the ungodly. That's why you read Romans 13 and can't understand it.
Yeah.
Because you are reading today's society into Romans chapter 13. When Romans 13 is not projecting today's society,
yeah,
and it would be despicable if God was promoting what we've got today.
Mm.
Make certain you understand he's not. To neglect good government is to neglect the salvation of souls. If souls were getting saved and getting involved in the governments of this country, that would be a good thing. Promotion of public and private good is one of the greatest means of making it possible to see souls saved and saints edified.
Right.
We know that the law is good if a man uses it lawfully. So, Christians should vote, enter public life to promote good government, so that the gospel will not be hindered and stamped out, and so that we can live a life in peace. Both reason and experience, as well as the Bible, make this obligatory on us all.
Yes.
Since government is necessary for the best good of all, it is the duty of every Christian to help bring about the best government to secure this end.
Yes.
Sometimes you have an opportunity of service.
Yep.
It was my privilege to pastor for more than 20 years. We owned our own business for more than 20 years. I have hanging on the wall of my office two certificates declaring me to be one of Ohio's greatest citizens, which I think if you set them on fire, that's about what they're worth. Judging ourselves by ourselves, we're not wise, I think, of when I look at those.
Yeah.
I did serve on the zoning board. I did serve on the road widening committee in the Beaver Creek Chamber of Commerce. I did start the Beaver Creek Small Business Association. So being involved in the community, I've got time for that. I just can't do as much bar hopping. I've got time for that. I just can't bowl as many lines. I've got time for that. I just can't go to some Finger Lake in Upper Michigan and trout fish. It's priorities.
That's it.
You make choices.
Amen.
Upon the grounds of the best public interest, it becomes the duty of Christian citizens operating in human government to use all necessary means to get the job done in a godly manner. So, human government is not founded upon the arbitrary will of God. God is not a great puppet master in the sky, making the president do this, making the chief justice do that. It is upon the needs of humanity that saved Christian people in these high offices would operate in a godly manner and get things done in a godly result. So, it's wrong, Romans 13, verse 2, to resist that kind of power.
Right.
Oh, I need to resist. That's the whole slogan of one of our major parties. Resist. And that's obviously a wrong thing. But don't show the resist people this verse, Romans 13, 2, in the Bible. They will go apoplectic and tell you that the Bible doesn't mean what it says, and nobody reads the Bible anymore, and the Bible is just a slogan book, and they'll have a lot of things to say about the Bible, none of which will be right. Interesting. Our job is to engage and get the job done.
Yes.
Rather than resist, we should take over. Oh, never thought of that. I know. That's where we are. And now it is so far from a godly situation that you get godly people involved in government and they'll come after them with pitchforks and firebrands.
Yes.
Capital punishment, by the way, is something to execute.
Yes.
It was in place in Genesis chapter 9, verse 6. Before the law.
Yeah.
It was in place in Numbers chapter 15, verses 32 to 36, under the law.
Yes.
And in our dispensation of God's grace, Paul says, if I be an offender or have committed anything worthy of death, something worthy of death, there's Paul, Acts 25, verse 11, I refuse not to die.
Yep.
So Paul is endorsing capital punishment in Acts chapter 25 in verse 11. Now I know there's a lot of people who want to put an end to the death penalty. One of the reasons why you're having the mass shootings that you are, one of the reasons why you have Chicago with people being shot every 4 hours, someone is shot in the city of Chicago. And every 18 hours, someone is murdered in the city of Chicago. Well, has anybody in Chicago been executed?
No.
Do you know why there were public hangings? So people could look and say, oh, that's what happens. Well, I better not steal any more horses. I better not filch any more chickens. I better walk the straight and narrow.
Yeah.
It was intended to make people afraid of doing the wrong thing.
Yeah.
Now, oh, we need to psychoanalyze him. I don't care what makes Charles Manson tick. It's time to unplug his clock. How many millions of dollars are spent housing people on death row? They don't want to be there. I've had prisoners tell me, why don't they just kill me and get it over with? This is worse. Well, if I be an offender, Paul says, I refuse not to die.
Yeah.
People have tender hearts, some would say bleeding hearts, over the capital punishment issue. And, of course, you've got a billion Roman Catholics who are being misled by their Pope. And the Pope says that sanctity of life, we're against abortion. Sanctity of life, we're against capital punishment. The man can't read or doesn't care to, and it's not something that is a problem for him. He's insulated.
Yeah.
Capital punishment is something that ought to be, may I say, executed, pun intended. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. So, good behavior is its own reward.
Yeah.
What a concept. Verse 4, Romans 13, 4. Speaking of the ruler, he is a minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain. Again, an endorsement of capital punishment.
Yes.
By Paul in Romans chapter 13 in verse 4. Now this flies in the face of all the psychiatry and psychobabble and all the, oh, we've got to find out what his motive was. His motive is called evil sinfulness.
Yes.
He's an unsaved sinner. Maybe he'll get saved on death row. Okay, great. He still needs to be on death row. He still needs to be executed speedily.
Yes.
And then you can talk to him in heaven about why he did the heinous thing that he did and the fact that he needed to be executed as an example so that nobody else would do what he did.
Yes.
We are so good today at mollycoddling. Mm-hmm. And we don't take a strong stand against anything. It's a fact now that we keep... Is there any highway in America that you drive the speed limit not already knowing they're going to give you 5 miles over? See, that's the mentality of it.
Yeah.
And if the law doesn't mean anything, they'll give you 5 miles over. Well, they lock him up, but they're not going to kill him.
Yeah.
He's a minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid. For he beareth not the sword just for decoration. He's got the sword to take your head.
Yeah.
For he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doth evil. Oh, wrath. Oh, God's only love. Why, we shouldn't do wrath to these murderers. Why? So you have terrorists down at Gitmo who've got soccer courts. They probably eat better than you do. I'm certainly eat better than I do. And my wife's looking at me funny. It's because I go to fast food places and I'm sure they don't get the junk food that I do. They get spinach and stuff. Well, my point being that we are coddling evil.
Yeah.
And then we wonder why we get more of it.
Yeah.
You know, what you spend money on, you get more of.
Yes.
I know one way to empty the prisons. Execute the ones that should have been executed 5, 10, 15, 20 years ago. That'll open a whole bunch of cells. Wherefore, you must needs be subjects, not only for wrath, but also for conscience sake. In other words, do right just because it's right. And that would be a good reason. Obey civil laws, not only to escape punishment, but it's the right thing.
Yes.
And you keep a clear conscience.
Yes,
Romans chapter 13, verse 6. For this cause pay ye tribute also. We talked about this briefly in all of Paul's 13 books. This is the only place he tells you what to do with your money. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7, you get to purpose it in your own heart. Because civil government and law enforcement officers who execute the laws and defend our community have a need for support, we have to pay our fair share of taxes. I am always amazed. I had a friend who was quite quiet about a lot of things in his life, and then one day he spilled the beans. He didn't have a driver's license. He didn't have insurance on his truck. He didn't have insurance on his house. He was flying beneath the system. He was actually being a lawbreaker and totally irresponsible when it came to his wife and family.
Yeah.
So he thought he was doing God's service because, oh, they do so much wrong things. Why? Did you know some of our money even helps support Planned Parenthood? Boo, hiss, bad. So I'm going to do bad so that then I get even with they're doing bad. And two bads, we know that's a good thing, right?
Nope.
Of course not. Two wrongs don't make a right. They never did, they never will. It's important to understand, by the way, that when you purpose in your heart to help with a ministry, that ought to be prayerful, it ought to be careful. You don't write checks to people that you don't know how they're going to spend it or don't know anything about them. You just don't do that.
That's right.
By the way, in these here United States of America, every pastor, preacher, teacher pays taxes. No Roman Catholic priest pays taxes. The Roman Catholic priest is not a citizen of the United States.
No.
He is a citizen of the Vatican. And those people not paying taxes in buildings that are just festooned with gold cry and whine about money. Oh my. Help our poor aged sisters and all of that kind of stuff. Well, aged sisters started a craft brewing company so they could sell, you're going to love this, Ale Mary.
Oh my.
What a ridiculous heathen outfit Roman Catholicism is. Well, render to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom. Pay your bills, pay your taxes, pay on time, pay early, pay the full amount. Don't get a sister-in-law, brother-in-law discount, and get engaged in our society rather than whining and complaining about it. If we had 150 million people in this country back 40 years ago, when that was close to what our population was, and they were all saved people praying, don't think for one second that Madeline Murray O'Hare would have any impact whatsoever in getting prayer out of schools.
That's right.
The reason prayer was removed from schools is because the home was already prayerless.
That's it.
And that's the progression. So as the home falls apart, and my, has it not fallen apart?
Yes.
Now you've got 50, 60, 70-year-old people that you see. He's my boyfriend. He's not a boy. He hadn't been a boy for a long time, honey. You are better to describe him as he's the one I fornicate with.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm?
Yeah.
Oh, you don't want to say that. Truth has fallen in the streets.
Oh, yes.
And we live in such an ungodly situation. We look at our situation and we can't reconcile it with Romans chapter 13.
No.
That's not Romans 13's fault. That's our fault.
Amen.
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 Amen.